It's not easy being Jeff Lewis.
I've been working on my memoir. It's called Burning Bridges, Overcoming a Life of Privilege, Fame, and Power. I have enough of my own therapy to deal with. I don't want to hear about yours. And I said, you're right. I'm very famous, and I deserve special treatment.
Jeff Lewis has issues.
Hey, it's Jeff Lewis, and I have issues. In today's episode, Cy DeSilva and Doug Buden join the show. We talk about friendship bracelets, size hoarding, and what it's like traveling with Doug.
People are commenting already. Did you feed her? Did she have breakfast? Is this just follows you everywhere now?
It does. It does. Jeff tried to feed me this morning, but I said no.
I was really kind of pushy because I was worried you were going to get hangry because we've seen you hangry on Real Housewives of New York City.
Yes.
Same. I was like, oh, Cy chose not to eat at this particular day.
Okay. I just wanted a coffee. I want to start off, you know, just chill. I'm in a really good mood. I got lots of sleep. I'm super happy to be here, but I'm not hangry, everyone. I am not hangry at all.
Now, every episode, they would show you complaining about food and not having enough food and where's the food and is this what we're having for dinner? Is this it?
All we're having for dinner?
My guess is you said it probably twice in like an 8-month period and they just keep using it over and over and over and over again.
I actually was quite shocked that it was dragged out the way it was dragged out.
Yeah.
Yes, I do talk about food, but looking back at myself, I was like, there's no way. I think I might have mentioned, hey, do you have any food? Are we going to eat? But it was just in such a chill way that was amplified.
Yes.
That I was shocked, honestly. I really was.
Well, let me ask you this. So we here are obsessed with food also. And one of the reasons why I'm obsessed with food is that I can't eat a lot, right? So when I do eat, it's very, very important. So I start talking about lunch at like 8 a.m.?
Yeah, like when we get in the car at 8 a.m.
I start talking about lunch and I obsess.
That's the
for
word.
For hours, hours and hours and
about
hours.
What you're going to eat.
Out. Yes. So my theory is you are so little, you probably do not eat 3 meals a day. Do you just eat like one or two? And is that why you're so obsessed with that one meal?
No. Actually quite the opposite. Because I lift weights, I'm starving every 2 to 3 hours, and I'm a pescatarian and I actually just prefer more plant-based meals. So, and they're also small meals. So I eat probably 4 times a day.
Like a bird. You eat like a little birdie.
Yeah. Aww. I eat a lot of salad. I like a very clean diet.
Same.
A lot of carbs, really.
Right.
You too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I knew it.
We're
have
like
a lot
twins.
In common.
Cy and I are twins.
I've noticed that.
We all like food. We all talk about food here. Doug especially. And I think that, you were upset at the Jet Suite terminal because they didn't have any food.
That's right.
I remember that.
Let's face it, there wasn't even a terminal.
Are you familiar with Jet Suite X?
Yes. I took it with my family maybe a few months back, and it is amazing.
Just so easy. When you go to here's the thing. Like, if you fly American or Delta, you have the lounge, or an American has the lounge within the lounge within the lounge. And then Jet Suite, you're just kind of sitting in a terminal, and they don't really offer any sort of food or beverages. Is that correct, Doug?
That is correct. There was coffee, and there was a broken water machine.
Water.
I didn't have this experience.
At Burbank, here at Burbank. There was no water. And I said, is it not possible to get some? And she said, oh, it's broken. But you know what? I was good customer service. They brought me a bottle of water from their from the back room.
Now, let me ask you this, Doug. So you get to Jet Suite and you're there for what, a half an hour before your plane leaves?
I was about an hour, full hour.
You were there an hour before.
I was.
Very prompt.
Okay, so but the whole idea of Jet Suite is that you don't have to be there an hour before.
It says 20 minutes. Two things, clarifiers here. I did not book this particular trip. You did. I was like, I don't even know what time
but
I'm
But I didn't tell you what time to be there.
No, it's true.
Right.
Also, this is
what
Burbank.
Does that have to do with who booked it?
Well, because if I had booked it at the point when I booked it, I would have been building my schedule. I would have been building my timeline. I would have been working backwards, prepared to get there at the right time.
Do you ever see Rain Man?
No, I actually have never seen Rain Man.
You should, and you'll understand it
it's
all.
The guy keeps going on and on, right?
Shut up, Cy. It was going so well. I've known you an hour.
So now you're there an hour early. My guess is nobody was there except for the crew, probably.
They're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also it was Burbank Airport.
Jen Green wouldn't
be
there.
Burbank Airport's not my home airport. I don't know from going to and from Burbank how long it's going to take.
It's so easy.
Okay, so an hour there, and then you had your half an hour flight.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the longest you've gone without eating?
Rude. Maybe. I mean, it's possible. No, because then I got to Vegas. I didn't eat for hours. Our dinner reservation that night was like at 8:45, and I was working.
This was Wednesday.
Were you hangry?
No, I don't get hangry. I get like tired.
Who were you with Wednesday night?
Wednesday night, I had dinner with Amy Phillips
and
Melissa France. We went to the Martha Stewart restaurant in Bedford.
How was that?
Well, the bread basket. It's all about the bread basket. And too much food. Delicious.
Your facial expressions are like delicious.
Perfect for radio. No, I'm going to tell you. The value, it was a $99 prefix. It came with a Caesar salad. It came with a Caesar salad, then pierogi in a brown butter, then a roast chicken with mushroom stuffing, then a lemon meringue dessert.
All right, well, thank you, Doug. I'm glad you had a good time at the restaurant. Now, the last time we were there, Si, and I'm just going to tell you this in confidence. Doug, we were at the Venetian Hotel, and we were banned from the Venetian Hotel because someone hired a...
I had a hurt back.
What?
Sex
I
worker.
Hurt my back.
What?
Someone hired a sex worker, and they take that very seriously at the Venetian.
Oh, my God.
So we have been banned from all of the Venetian resorts. Now, he said he just got a massage. But I don't know. Are massages $500?
Were there any endings?
What do you think for $500?
It was a sad ending.
It wasn't very happy.
I didn't stay there. I didn't stay there this time.
Was there any sort of reunion with the person that you were with the last time in Vegas? I'm just wondering.
Because
I thought it was strange that we all were leaving on Thursday, but you left Wednesday. And
well, I had work to do. Mm-hmm. When I landed, I had a walkthrough of a venue for your party. Like, I actually had stuff I had to get done.
He actually works, is what he's saying.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
So there was no reunion of any sort.
No, I was working on my computer and all of the things.
He was typing.
I'm so happy he has
his
computer to work on.
Yeah.
Will you please tell Si what happened at the BravoCon party?
Si. So you were there. It was an amazing cocktail party. And, you know, I've been very lucky to meet some incredible housewives and bravolettes on this show, right? And it's like, you know, Margaret Josephs will walk in and she says, Doug, and like, you know, I have a real rapport. But there were a few that I had never met and I was very excited. The first one that I saw was Phaedra. I have never met Phaedra and I was so excited. So I try to, you know, gather myself. I walk over and I said, Phaedra, hi. My name is Doug Buden. I'm one of Jeff's co-hosts.
You said you work for me.
No.
Didn't you?
No.
Okay.
I said, I'm one of Jeff's co-hosts. I am so excited to meet you. And she said, oh, you work with Jeff Lewis. I said, yes, I do. She said, oh, great. I'd like a spicy margarita.
No! Oh, my God, no. She's like, oh, you're a server.
I said co-host, and she turned that into work with, which I do, and it went right to, oh, I'd like a spicy margarita.
You're an assistant. You
and
have to be an assistant.
I went right to the bar. I said, I need a spicy marg for Phaedra stat, and they made one, and I brought it over to her.
Well, I went and got a drink for Vicky Gumbelson because I noticed that I know that she drinks dirty martinis, and I think she had a, you know, like a 21 Seeds tequila drink.
Yeah, shout out.
And she was drinking it and liking it. I said, but don't you, I said, isn't martini your thing? She's like, I would love one. So I went to the bar and got her one.
Right, a kettle.
So, you know, we all work for housewives.
Yeah, there you go. It's fine.
I just don't feel like I got that same type of treatment. Like, well, you actually were sitting we were chatting. You didn't even offer me a drink at all.
I didn't?
I'm insulted now.
Oh, my God.
We have to redo this all over again.
But
I
will
like
tell
dirty
you,
martinis.
I had very few, like, sit down. Like, you and I talked a while.
Yeah, we did. It was really nice.
Because here's the thing. Initially, I probably, like everyone else, you know, I feel personally you got a bit of a bad edit on Real Housewives of New York City. And I think, and the reason I knew that is because Erin had vouched for you because she's been on the show twice.
Right.
And she had said how much she liked you. And I remember in Anguilla when everybody was piling on, she said, she's like, no, it wasn't in the show, but Si stood up for me and you put a stop to all of that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in the episode, which is kind of crazy.
I know. I don't know why that was taken out. Maybe they want me to
be a bitch, my
villain era.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, Erin's my girl. Like, I have her back 100%. But yeah, I think that was like a hot tub from hell moment. And I was the only person who was pretty much like not yelling. Jenna was in the room, so she wasn't there. But I definitely was like, enough is enough. Like, I think everybody was ganging up on her.
Yeah.
It wasn't okay. Yeah. No one really saw it.
But by the end of this season, it was a totally different picture of you, especially those last couple of episodes. So I feel like maybe they also did you a favor because we saw a full picture of you.
Right.
The side that we saw in episode one and the side we saw at the end, totally different, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, what was the, how did you feel about me in episode one? I know, I genuinely love to know, like, how do
people
feel
like a
about...
bitch, like, the first episode or two.
Okay, like, bitchy, but how? Like, bitchy not funny or just bitchy, like, uppity?
You seemed uptight. You seemed kind of a bit angry, but I did, but again, I don't think that they really showed, I think they were, they painted you out as this kind of one-dimensional person. And I think later, like Doug said, we start to see layers and layers. And I started to kind of understand you. So maybe initially I was not loving you.
Right.
But then I was starting to understand you. Like, okay, wait, she is the voice of reason. What she's saying makes sense. Now, you're kind of like me, though. It's like where you're emotional and passionate and it gets lost in you're in the delivery. Like the message gets lost in the delivery.
Because I get upset.
You get upset. You get emotional because it deeply affects you. So I kind of understood that about you. But I also thought, okay, what she's saying makes total sense. But I don't think, I think we're missing the really soft, soft side of you, which Aaron is the one that had told me about that. So that's a shame. Hopefully they will show more of that later.
And that's so sweet of Aaron. I really appreciate that she, like, you know.
She had your back.
She has my back. I think that's really important, especially in these kinds of shows. Like, it just kind of gets out of hand, and you're listening to this press and that interview, and you kind of, you know, one minute you think you're really good friends, and then turn around and you listen to someone on a podcast, and you're like, hey, why'd you say that shit mm-hmm. about me? You know what I mean? So I really appreciate that Aaron really does have my back. It's really sweet.
She does. And then, okay, so yesterday, or no, this morning we were talking about, no, yesterday on the show I was talking about, you know, this Real Housewives of New York City season 14. I mean, it was like a runaway success. Like, it was, so for people like you, it's like you're famous overnight. I mean, you were already in the limelight. You
right.
were already, you know, a very successful influencer. So you were already out there. And I know that you have, like, you know, you represent all these different brands and things like that. But for people that are not used to the limelight and then all of a sudden they're thrown into it, I felt like I've watched these women change. You know, I've been around for a while. I've watched these women change from season to season, but never have I seen people change so quickly. Like,
as the New York.
Meaning they feel, to me, they seem very, very affected by the attention and by the fame.
But like who?
Well, I think, you know, Brynn is probably one of them. I think, you know, it just seems like everyone's kind of affected.
Do you think it's because this is the first reboot in franchise history and there's just so much eyeballs that are on this franchise? I mean, it's, even though it's a season 14, it's a season one for us. So it's just kind of, for example, BravoCon, like, our panel was completely sold out. Like, there were people spewing into the hallway.
The most crowded one
it was
of all of BravoCon.
The most crowded,
was
and
panel.
I wasn't expecting that. Do you think it's just so much fandom that have come, like, people just really don't know what to do?
Maybe you already had the built-in fans. You already had the built-in viewers, because that's actually a good point, because I think if it was a new show with a different name, I wouldn't have watched it.
Right.
But I'm such a Real Housewives New York City fan that I'll go wherever they go. And I don't care who they cast. Like, I'm going to watch it.
Right.
So at least going to give it a shot. So I think you're right. I think you already had, walking into it, a very big audience. Where the rest of us, we started off new shows and, we were like on 100,000, 400,000, 500,000. We had to build our way up. So, yeah, I guess it's a lot of attention. And a lot of eyes, like, very quickly.
Yeah, I think it's again, I've been doing my job for quite some time, and I by no means do I think I'm some celebrity, but I do have a little bit of status online.
Yeah.
So it is very interesting to see others who have not been in my shoes in that way are now super big online as well.
Do you see it with your castmates?
Yeah, my castmates have grown tremendously, and I think it's amazing for them, but it's also like all of a sudden they went from 0 to 60 real quick. Some of them are really, you know, profiting off of it, which I think is great, like as you should,
yeah.
You know? I'm all for that.
I have more respect for people, and you and I have talked about this, because I said to you this morning, I'm like, why did you do this? And, you know, you did this to build your business. You
100%.
You did this to make money. I've always said it's a very, I always am drawn to relate to connect with people because that's why I did it. But there are other people that maybe they already have money and they want other things. They want attention. They want fame. They want affirmation. They want love. And I feel like that's a very different person.
Oh, yeah. When I would never look to this show to get love and only attention. I think that like the fans are flip flop. One minute they like you, one minute they don't like you, and it once you get involved like that, you can become mentally unstable. You know, you're having other people dictate how you should feel about yourself.
And if you start to believe your own press or all of that,
you start believing your own bullshit at the end of the day. And that's not for me. I think you have to come in and you have to focus on whatever it is that your goal is. Be strong, clock in and clock out.
It's very, very easy to take all of those things personally. I mean, I get a lot of responses every single day. But it's like 50-50. Some people are behind you. Some people are not behind you.
50-50? That's better than I thought it would be for you, quite frankly.
All right, maybe it's 70-30.
Maybe
it's 70-30. But no, you'd be surprised. But I think people do get with me a lot, which I relate to you. I think people, the message gets lost by the way that I say things, the way that I deliver it. And maybe I own that and I acknowledge that.
Same. I mean, same. I have zero patience for adults. I don't know if it's because of I grew up in New York and I'm just someone who's constantly go, go, go. But like answer a question or like things that seem to me to be so simple, but yet someone can't give me a simple answer or walk around it. I just end up becoming so frustrated that I kind of lash out. And you're right. The message gets lost, even though I'm telling you the correct things or the message is there. People don't see that. And immediately they're just like, this girl, she's so angry, she's so mean, she's so rude, but no one at all is listening to the message that I had to say at all, even though the message was the truth.
Well, that's the other thing that I get about you is that when people are not telling the truth, it makes you insane.
Sane.
I'm probably even 10 times worse than you with that. Like if I know someone's lying or someone's bullshitting or someone, like I attack.
You relish it. I see it in your eyes. You love to
because I know, like, don't fucking try to lie to me because I know you're lying.
The two of you are terrible people.
I know you're lying.
And that's what you did to Jessel on the boat when she was like, she was embellishing her childhood.
Her story.
And we all knew she was doing it. And everyone was kind of rolling their eyes. But you, it's like your mission. It was like you were born to do this. You have to call her out. I'm that person.
It is. I don't know.
Why can't I shut the fuck up?
I don't know. I can't shut the fuck up.
Just roll my
either.
Eyes like everyone else.
I know. I don't know why I have to give you my honest truth opinion. Like, I should just be like, oh, you're right.
And it's none of our business.
Yeah.
But why do we do it?
Why? It's just something inside of us.
Because you both get rewarded for it. I mean, that's
not rewarded.
But do we?
I don't think so.
Hate.
Same.
I get a lot of hate.
I'm still paying for what I said Monday.
But guess what? You're still sitting here at Sirius, no longer Sirius XM, just Sirius. You're sitting here with a microphone.
Sirius XM.
Oh, Sirius
XM. No longer.
Sorry. You still have your job. This is what gives you your job, is you being you and not being worrying about polite society. And the same thing with Psy. This is what we're talking about. But the problem is when you say people don't listen to it, it's because when you have this anger, that's all people are going to see is you seem deranged.
You're right.
I don't want to hear your message because you look like a crazy person.
Because you're screaming and you're emotional. Same.
You're unhinged.
Your therapist would say that authenticity is one of your core values.
But then how do you change this to still very much so being yourself, but also calling someone out on their bullshit?
That's the work you have to do.
I believe my purpose here on earth is that I'm a bullshit police officer. I really am. Okay. I'm the bullshit police. And I think you are part of the bullshit police too.
Can I be your partner?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to be
I don't know how it works. Like sergeant, detective, like what's the order?
Rank? Like FBI?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to sit in the car together
the FBI.
And just like
you would be the worst.
Call people.
You stick out like a sore thumb. And then they'd be like, we need you to hide in these bushes for 3 days. You'd be like, no.
Yeah, that's not for me. Thank you.
Now, Psy, you probably would get as, you seem to be a type A personality. I'm guessing things bother you. So in the parking structure, we've been talking about it for weeks. The parking attendants have been putting signs in the middle of the road. But the problem is like they never really quite get the middle. Like sometimes the sign leads to the right or the left. So we have to take our cars like an obstacle course.
Oh, no.
Do you know all the signs are gone now? Did you notice today?
Because you said something?
I was going to say
no,
no,
because
sign.
People kept hitting them. especially these dipshit SiriusXM
employees. Are they on orange?
They hit me.
Are they on cones? Like
there's
orange
like a
cones?
No, like a sandwich board.
It's like a big sign, like a parking attendant here, or they say that we park on P2 for
is that your parking sign
Can
voice?
You move that?
No parking here.
Yoga's on P2. All this shit. It's like all they put it. They put it all like on this big sign in the middle. But I noticed today they're gone.
They moved it out of the way because
enough people have knocked them over.
I think
you can't get out of the car and move them though, right?
No.
No, but see, but people drive really fast.
I move all kinds of cones and shit.
You do?
Yeah, to park.
I'll do that at
the airport. I need a parallel park. I mean, there's not a lot of space, so I'm going to move your cone.
If I drive to the airport, usually there's cones because it says parking structure full. And I will get out of the car and move the cones because I know there's at least one space
there's
in there.
There's always one space.
Always a space.
Always.
That's a good hack.
Yeah, I've always done that. I just move the cones.
Is it a good hack or is he just like not following rules?
No, I think it's
a
good
hack
because
two things are true.
Two things can be true.
When you get to it, when you get to the mall and it's, you know, everybody's, the parking lot looks full or Costco, you go right to the front because the people who got those good spots, who got there early, they're the ones who are leaving first.
You can also just park in a handicapped. All right, we're going to take a quick
break. No, you can't do that.
We're going to take a quick break.
You can.
I did want to mention we did get these friendship bracelets. It's driving me fucking bananas, I'll tell you. I just got some today from a listener, and this is what the note says. Fuck you, you fucking fuck.
And then,
I have one friendship bracelet that says moobs. And then I have one that says fat fuck.
Oh. Again, this is all for you. These were sent to you.
Yes, and then RIP 789. So these are the kind of bracelets I get.
Oh,
I really love the fuck you fucking fuck. It
yeah.
feels very like sweet.
Fuck you, you fucking fuck.
So
I do think that comes from a place of warmth, I think.
Yeah,
it's, right?
It feels like love.
I got two. It says shout out, and the second one says I'm with stupid, and I don't think they're talking about Brogan. I think it's when I'm next to you, Jeff.
I'm with stupid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like how we each got ones personal.
I thought that should be for me. I'm with stupid.
Oh. Well,
that was mine.
Not
that would
anymore.
Be stupid. No.
I was with stupid. Yes. What were your...
Too many letters for one bracelet. I was with stupid.
I got Dwarf Melanie's Ballet, which, sigh, that was the tomato of the year for 2023. I got...
oh, my God.
I got Cookin' Kibitz. I got Truffle Salt. I got Chump University. And I got Katie. That's because a woman named Katie gave me hers. And I said, well, I don't want to give you one of mine.
Oh, my God. I had so many from BravoCon. Had I known that we were going to come in here and start switching bracelets, I would have brought some.
We're not switching. I don't want
No, I want the fuck you fucking fuck.
I'll give you fat fuck if you want.
That's really sweet. Maybe I'll take that.
Thank you to the person who sent them who did not send their information.
Now, Si, so you've got to know Doug in the last, hour and a half. Mm. So this weekend... For whatever reason, why are you all going to Palm Springs this weekend?
Just a coincidence. Frank, that's my boyfriend.
Not his name.
And what about him?
And Jeff loves that he's black. I'm in an interracial relationship.
Super nice. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Si.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hashtag trending.
Everyone's been very welcoming. Frank's friends are in town for a trip, just unrelated. And so I'm going to Palm Springs, but coincidentally, Doug's going as well.
But,
I'm going to a benefit.
But Doug offered to drive Jameson, okay?
No.
Yeah.
Thank you. I
Absolutely
it is
not.
A 2.5-hour drive with traffic.
You're not going to get one word in. He's going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you all through the whole ride, okay?
I'm
Could
very
I tell
quiet
you?
In a car, Si.
Si, we made the mistake. Like, years ago, we did a live event in Fresno. How long was that drive?
5 hours.
5 hours. We all went in this. I had this SUV. We all went in. There was like six of us. And Doug said, I never talk. Like, what was he saying? He assured us that he doesn't speak. He gets really quiet, takes naps. Well, he talked for fucking 5 hours, Si.
I knew it. I called it. I knew it.
They all wanted out of that car so bad.
They almost left me at In-N-Out in Bakersfield.
We almost, I literally.
If, what the hell were you talking about?
Megan and I 100% wanted to leave you. But you had other people that, like, you can't do it. You can't leave him. But if I had more people on board, we would have left that parking lot.
You should have put headphones on. You should have, like, popped some, like, Some sort of headphones, AirPods, something.
So you'd rather take a Greyhound bus?
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Sometimes I just need some quiet sometimes. just a tiny bit.
Well, Jameson, I have our playlist ready.
Okay. If you don't hear from me on Monday, you know what happened.
Send an SOS
Wait,
text.
Wait, playlist? I thought you guys added another playlist?
No.
Is like it a
I'm,
sex playlist?
I'm gonna I want to listen to the Broadway channel.
Oh, that's fun. Oh. That is fun. We can see.
This sounds terrible.
But actually,
she just lost her headset.
I'm falling apart over here.
And maybe it'll be trafficy, and you're staying further than I am, so I have to take Jameson farther
than
you.
I'm. Very going. Generous. Oh.
But we do have work to do in the car because, as I mentioned, I am emceeing. The Tres Amigas in Phoenix next Wednesday and Thursday.
You're not driving with Shannon and Tamara and Vicky, are you?
No, I have my own flight. I booked because they're flying out of OC. I'm flying out of LAX. But I am emceeing, and I've got to learn the whole show. And Jameson emceed it last time really well, but there's no script. You have to – it's like an old – tale that goes through the generations. The
An
MC
oral
has to
tradition.
Brief the next MC.
I think you're going to do well.
Yeah,
I hope so. I got to learn the show.
I think
so
you're going to do great.
I'm so excited.
I will tell you, initially when we started doing live shows, Doug, his responsibility was to go out and introduce the rest of us, and it was supposed to be like 2 minutes. At 15 minutes, people were screaming backstage, get him
that
off the stage.
True.
Honestly, we could not get him to shut up and get off. All he was supposed to do was introduce us. That's all he was supposed to do.
Not true.
He went on for 15 minutes. One time at band camp, by the way.
No, it was 2 times at band camp. But that is not true, sir. We always had fun. And if I can, go to standuplive.com to get your tickets to the Tres Amigas next Wednesday and Thursday in Phoenix. Standuplive.com.
Hey, how big is that Brooklyn townhouse you live in?
It's pretty big. It's about 6 floors,
Jesus.
5 bedrooms, Whoa. 5 baths.
Do you use that elevator all the time?
I do. I ride it up and down.
You do? Because I noticed that when I was watching on the Today Show, you were doing a tour of your brownstone, and I noticed there was shit in that elevator. You were using it for storage.
I do use you know why? Because my office is at the top. I get a lot of boxes, so I put the boxes in there, and then we take it up and down.
Got
it. I also do put the recycling in there, too.
Got it. So 6 floors.
Yes.
God, that's a lot.
It's not enough.
Your closet looks big. Did you take a whole bedroom and make it a closet?
No, it's 1 floor, though. So the second or third
floor. I'm sorry.
It's 1 floor.
Your closet is a floor?
No, it is the same floor as my bedroom.
Okay.
So the suite is
the floor.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Does your husband have his own closet?
He has a tiny little space that I have created for him in that closet.
And he doesn't give a shit, does he?
No, he wears like Lululemon all day.
Yeah.
Like, he's not into it at all. But I do have another bedroom above that is also my closet.
Wow.
It's a sample closet of like beauty products and anything, any giftings that I get. And I get a lot of giftings.
Do you give everything away like Jenna was giving things away? Do you do that?
No, I don't. I'm actually a hoarder.
Oh, so you hold on to it all.
I do.
I give away everything.
I do. Especially beauty products, because I genuinely do try all this stuff.
Yeah.
Probably my family will come through. They call it Sephora, and they come over, and they're like, hey, anything new in Sephora? And I was like, oh, I got this and this. Like, if I have duplicates of something, or if I really genuinely don't like something and somebody else wants to try it, I'll give it away.
Do you ever get really expensive bags for free?
Lots.
No.
Yes, lots.
Do you ever do you ever have to give stuff back though? Like they hey, photograph yourself with this bag, but you have to give it back?
Constantly. That's a normal
though.
Really?
That's
a normal
for me.
Okay, so
what percentage are you going to keep the product?
50? No. Actually, because I do fashion month and everything like that, everything is borrowed. All the clothes are borrowed. Everything for BravoCon, all of that was borrowed.
What if you get it dirty?
That's okay. They're fine with it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm giving them press.
Yeah.
So I would have to say I probably give it back 60% of the time I'm giving it back.
Wow.
Which is great. I can't keep all these things.
Yeah.
And I usually, they're not my everyday clothes. So these like outlandish.
The silver lamé gown just
you know,
doesn't scream
this gown Tuesday. I can't wear to the bodega. You know, I can't wear these things over and over again. So I give them back.
So you were very open about your background and your early upbringing, and there was not a lot of money there. And, do you think that maybe because you come from a place of scarcity that that's why you kind of hold on to all of those things?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've always wanted all of these things. I just wanted things or be able to afford stuff that I've always wanted. So
yeah.
I think now that I get such an influx of all of these beautiful items that I'm like, oh my God, I can't get rid of it.
I can see also where you're gifted all these expensive things. You probably feel bad about then giving them to other people. I view it like if I'm not going to use it, I want someone else to use it. So
no, I think that's great.
When I get deliveries, like I put everything on the dining room table and then I take what I want and then the employees love it. Yeah, then I let the employees fight over everything else.
No, I genuinely try and like, especially I get the most that I get is beauty products.
Yeah.
But I do, I mean, some of them, especially they're small companies, like they want the press. So I do genuinely try to use it. And if I like it, I'll give it a shout out.
Let me ask you for my listeners, what are your favorite beauty products out there right now?
Ooh, oh my God, there's so many good ones that are out there right now. I'm still a big fan of Sunday Riley's, their lactic acid product that they have that is out.
Is it a pill?
No. Oh.
It's definitely not a pill.
I love Timeline just came out with something really new. It's a science-backed product, which I really like. Joanna Czech, it's a little pricey, but she has this vitamin C serum that is amazing, like just really brightens the skin. And I really like, I love like Saluma. You know Saluma? It's like an LED panel that you put over your face.
Oh.
Oh, my
like
God.
Like that mask thing?
Does that work?
Move. It is amazing. Not only can you just use it for fine lines and wrinkles, but you can use it for acne, back pain, sunburn. Because it is a panel, you just put it right over you.
Oh, a panel.
You were telling.
It's like a panel, so you just go under it. So I usually use it only when I'm going to sleep at night because you can't move.
I was asking you also about trends right now, fashion trends for women. And what you're seeing out there.
Oh, my God. Are we not seeing so much of the no pants, just the panty with the tights?
Right.
Right? That came on to runway spring, summer 23. We saw it with Bottega, Copernai. We saw it at Miu Miu. I really didn't think that this trend would, like, it snowball in the way that it has. But it really is kind of picking up some traction.
It was at BravoCon, Paige DeSorbo.
Exactly.
Did you like it?
I do. Aaron had it on too. I thought Aaron did really well with the trend. I personally like it. I don't think it's functional for most women.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who's going out with just panties and tights on? Right. You know, wow. It's like, so and some
Palm Springs, honey.
Where do you put your Metro card, you know?
Thanks for listening. If you want more of this, listen to Jeff Lewis Live every weekday on Sirius XM, as well as the Jeff Lewis channel exclusively on the Sirius XM app. For a 3-month free trial, go to SiriusXM.com/Jeff Lewis. Terms apply.